New Testament reading is from James, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 17 through 27. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting Saturn. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that he might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humble, accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be pleased in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's so good to be back with you all again. This has been a very interesting journey. In 1937, Walt Disney came out with a classic movie entitled Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Anybody seen that movie?
Of course.
Some of you seen it. Somewhere in that movie, near the beginning, there's this famous phrase. When the queen looks into a mirror and she says, magic mirror on the wall, who is the fairest one of all? You all know what happened after that. For those of you who are familiar with the story, she didn't like what the mirror had to say. So the rest of the movie continued on by just simply her trying to figure out how to correct what the mirror said. And as I reflected on that little portion of it, I said, I wonder what the mirror would say if I were to ask the question. What do you see when you look at me? Well, I'm not delusional. I know mirrors don't talk. But I have to rely on the people who I've encountered in my life's journey. The people that I've grown up with, grown up around, who I now meet and are getting to know. You are actually my mirror. And so I have to rely on what you see when you look at me. And so, in my life's journey, the people that I've encountered, I've asked them, what do you see when you look at me. When I was in elementary school, like Ray and Johnny, people looked at me and they said, I see a happy little chubby boy that walks around smiling all the time, who seems to not have a care in the world. And then I got a little bit older. When I was about 11 years old, and I took an interest in sports, what people saw was a young preteen who loved sports, loved to watch sports, loved to play sports. And then I was introduced into the gym, working out, exercising, lifting weights, loved all that good stuff. And then I got a little bit older. In the seventh grade, when they looked at me, what they saw was a nerd. An overachiever. A kid who would rather spend his time doing math and science and occasionally playing sports, always with a book in his hand. Then I got to high school. Something happened between middle school, junior high school, and high school. Y'all, some of y'all may not believe this, but I was cute. What they saw was a heartthrob. Strutting through the school every morning with a basketball under his arm, because I was still loving my sports or my track shoes or my football. Fast forward a little bit more, in and out of college, I asked people, what do you see when you look at me? They said, I see a brilliant young man who made it through college and is doing great as an electronic design engineer. And the people I worked with said, I see somebody who seems to have magic in his hands. Whatever I touch seemed to work. Those were the good ones. And then I got a little bit older. People said, what do you see? This is before I got married, by the way. They said, I see an extremely eligible young man who's making too much money and he doesn't know what to do with it. But overshadowing all of that, when you looked at me, one of the things that you always saw was a young person who loved the Lord and always made it his business to go to church with his family. Well, that was the me that everybody would see when they looked at me. But here's where it got to be a little tricky. Because what they saw was the outside. They saw all of the things that, dare I say, may have been superficial. But the me that I see was a little different. I saw a bigger picture of myself. I saw a me that nobody knows. I saw a me that couldn't be captured in a little mirror like that. I saw a me. But I had to see all of them. Here's the hard part. When we look at ourselves so intently, the me that we see isn't always the me that we want to be. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? As I look in this mirror, I saw all the things they saw in me, all the wonderful things that they said about me when I was younger. But when I looked in the mirror again, and I saw the whole picture, what I saw heartbreak in my life. I saw the sadnesses, the disappointments. I saw losses. I saw aches and pains and arthritis. Anybody seen those? I've seen times of depression. I've seen bitterness in my life. I looked in this mirror and I saw anger in places where it should not have been. I saw unfulfilled dreams. I even saw regrets. As I stared into the mirror and I reflected on all these things, the whole package that made me who I am, I found myself asking the questions, is this all that I was meant to be? Why am I always looking at others, looking at all of you, saying how much better everybody's life is as compared to mine? I found myself wondering, why does everybody else seem to be so much happier than I am, while I'm struggling to try to make it from one day to the next? Well, you know what? Maybe I've missed something. Maybe I, when I looked in the mirror, I didn't see all that I needed to see. Well, you know what? Let me just look in this mirror a little more intently and see if I can see what I might be missing. And who knows? Maybe I'll get to see a better me.
We all have our mirrors. We all have mirrors that we see ourselves through. Sometimes we see great things in them, and sometimes we don't. And then there are those times when we see the truth, but once we walk away from the mirror, it begins to fade. And we begin to see the lies that we are this or we are not that, according to standards and measurements that ultimately do not matter. And therefore, this morning, I want to challenge us, to challenge all of us, to arise as beloved children of God and come away. Come away from the mirrors, because maybe it's not the best way in which to see ourselves. Instead, I would dare say that we work at seeing ourselves through the eyes of God, who sees us as we are and sees us as we don't always recognize. You might wonder, how do you do that? How do we do that? Well, we do it through the Word of God, which speaks truth to us. And so in the Word of God, when we turn to it, we begin at the beginning. Many times when we talk about the beginning, we look at Adam and Eve and we focus on them at the fall, when they ate from the forbidden fruit. But there's a story before that. It's a story about God creating humankind and God making them and seeing all that God had made. And when God looked at it, God said, it's not simply good. It's very good. God looks at us, God's creation, and says, we, you and I, are very good. And God took all that God had created and made us humankind stewards of that creation. We are responsible for it all, for its care and its welfare, for everything that is in it. Then when we look a little further in the Word of God, we find God then made an agreement, a covenant between Adam and Abraham and Sarah. And in it, God said, I will be your God, not just to Abraham and Sarah, but also to all their descendants afterwards. I will be your God, and you will be my people. One of the outcomes of that agreement is that God then blessed Abraham and Sarah and said, now you are able to be a blessing to the nations, to all the nations around you, all the people from every tribe and tongue and language. You are blessed to be a blessing. Later in the book of Galatians, we learn that through Jesus Christ, we have inherited that covenant, you and I. And so we are therefore blessed also to be a blessing. One of the interesting things that happens, however, we find this in the book of the Gospels, is when we thought that being blessed was only in terms of privilege or status or power or wealth, Jesus corrected us. And he said, blessed are those that are poor and meek and persecuted. You see, God doesn't look at the outside trappings. God looks at our hearts. And when we questioned who we are supposed to bless, you know, if we're blessed to be a blessing, who then are we supposed to bless? When we questioned that, Jesus then once again taught us in the Gospels and said, we are focusing on the wrong thing when we're trying to figure out who's worthy of being our neighbor. Instead, our focus should be on how are we a neighbor to others. But even then, even in knowing the scriptures, sometimes we have these heartaches and disappointments and challenges and regrets and sorrows. And how easy it is to think in those moments that somehow we no longer matter to God, or maybe God doesn't care or know or love us anymore. We look again in the scriptures. In the scriptures, we find this wonderful passage that says we are more than conquerors, that we can find our rest in God, and that there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. For while we still were sinners, Christ died for us, not because of what we did or could have done or would do, but because of who God is. Love. It's this love that calls us beloved, that lifts us up, that turns our lives around, that makes us whole, that sets us free as beloved children of God, so that we might live into being the people that God has created us to be. Therefore, arise. Arise and come away from the mirrors that don't really tell the truth of who we are.
James chapter 1, verse 25. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. As I look at myself now through the eyes of God, I see another dimension to myself, something that I could never ever see in a mirror, nothing that a mirror could show me. There is something that I see within myself as I've been encouraged to follow the Word of God. And it's something that's been inside me all along. It showed me that I have lived as a doer of God's word by showing kindness to those who were in need, throughout my life. It showed me that I was a doer of God's word by reaching out to those who society has cast aside and written off as lost or forgotten. I realized that I've always been a doer of the word. When I answered the call, when God said, come and share the good news of the gospel with those who need to hear an encouraging word. By putting aside my mirror, the mirror that I used to look into myself and at my life and at the things that I did, I realized that God had called me to be something more. God had called me to be someone like the person he described in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, when he said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the works that you do for God have been wonderful. I realized that I've always known that. It was right in front of me, but I couldn't see it. Beloved people of God, from this day forth, I will no longer rely upon the mirror to define who I am. I will no longer rely on what I see on the outside to dictate how I feel about myself. From this day forth, I am going to look at myself through the eyes of God and live my life accordingly. Beloved people of God, what would our lives look like if we all did that? If we all put away the mirrors and took a look at yourself through the eyes of God, I wonder, what would you see? Beloved people of God, I challenge you to do just that. To live your lives looking at yourself, not through a mirror, at all the stuff you see on the outside, but to look at yourself through the eyes of God. And could you imagine what kind of a difference it would make in your life? Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for reminding us and for loving us so much to let us know that there is more to us than we can see in a mirror, but that we are even deeper and deeper when we look at ourselves through your eyes. This we pray in Jesus' name.